almost half of the way that we behave is largely unconscious. You know, we're triggered. You know, we know in the morning that the alarm clock goes off and up we get. You know, we jump up or not, you know. But we get triggered all day long by certain things. And actually changing those unconscious behaviours or those habits, it takes time.
Hi, welcome to Change Out Loud, the podcast where change management intersects with everyday life. I'm Kara Sundar.
And I'm Adnan Ali. Today we're joined by Lindsay Agnes, the CEO and founder of The Change Corporation. Lindsay is one of the UK's leading change specialists, a best-selling author, keynote speaker, and is the first woman master trainer of NLP in the UK, accredited through the American Board of NLP. Her career includes 11 years as a change management consultant, corporate trainer, and coach. Welcome to the show, Lindsay.
Thank you so much. And what a wonderful introduction. So great to be here. I'm really looking forward to exploring this topic with you both.
So great to have you on, Lindsay. So on today's episode, we are discussing, well, how do we get people to shift their behaviors? So Lindsay, why is it so difficult to shift people's behaviors?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, I've worked in organizational change for such a long time now. And, you know, it's not organizations that change, it's people that change or don't, you know. And so organizational success really is driven by whether people decide to shift, and it's really about their behavior, which is often attached to a new set of values coming into the organization, or not. And you know, why is that so difficult? And a couple of things that you might know about, or you might be interested to learn a little bit more about, is from a neuroscience perspective, we are always much more focused on the current moments than what might be promised in the future. And we often call that temporal discounting or current moment bias. And we've probably all experienced this. You know, let's take an example outside of the organization context, but you want to, you know, get fitter, you want to lose weight. So you're thinking, right, you know, today when I get home from the office, or, you know, I've been working at home all day, I'm going to go out for a run. And that time comes, you look out the window and it's pouring with rain, you know, and it's cold. And you know that you could sit down on the couch and watch Netflix. You know, which one do you choose? And that's, I always think that's a great example, because unless the vision or the goal for the future is bigger than the comfort of the current moment, then the chances are, you know, we won't do anything that different. And that's very much replicated within organizations. And that's why, you know, it is difficult to get people to change, because engaging with people and building a vision that's really compelling for them is something that organizations often don't get quite right. And another thing that I was really fascinated to learn was, there was some research done by Duke University, I think it was in 2006, and they discovered that around about 45%, so almost half of the way that we behave, is largely unconscious. So something happens, you know, we're triggered. You know, we know in the morning that the alarm clock goes off and up we get. You know, we jump up or not, you know. But we get triggered all day long by certain things. And actually changing those unconscious behaviours or those habits, it takes time. And I think I was researching, it can take anything. I think the average is about 66 days. So again, you know, we've got to be willing to practice. And, you know, if things don't quite work first time, you know, we've got to be willing to continue that effort. And, you know, as I say, as human beings, often that current moment bias gets in the way, you know, and we'd much rather just carry on doing things the way that we have always done them. And I think it's important, you know, for any leader to really understand almost like the psyche of change. You know, it's not just about sticking something nice on the wall or sending out, you know, some emails. It is around, you know, getting under the skin of what's really important for people, and finding those levers and triggers that might build a vision for the future that really is compelling for people. So I hope that makes sense.
It does. And I completely agree. I think change is one of those areas where practice makes perfect, right? We don't always get it right the first time. You know, it's one of those areas where we try it, we learn from that experience, and we get better. And there's not this end state that we immediately are at the forefront. I'm just curious, from your standpoint, Lindsay, how important is it that we engage with people at an emotional level? So not just, of course, those key headlines that, or those key messages, but really that emotional connection. How important is that?
Yeah, I mean, it really is I think it's the difference that makes the difference, actually, you know, because, you know, when you're talking about getting people motivated to do something differently, it really has to connect with them on some emotional level. And often we talk about, you know, really building the why, you know, why is the change important? And what I've noticed over the years is often, you know, that that connection maybe works for the most senior level of the organization, but sometimes that's not translated down to all levels. So if I'm a receptionist or if I'm a hospital porter, you know, we're doing quite a lot of work with the NHS at the moment. What's my emotional connection and what's my why, you know, for something that might be around profitability or, you know, an improved process at a much more senior level? So I think that emotional connection and really getting out there and engaging with staff at all levels is very, very important. I mean, we're doing a big engagement process at the moment for London Hospital Trust, and everybody has the opportunity, you know, to give us their views. Now, not everybody will participate, but at least everyone has had the opportunity to get involved. And then you can kind of get a much more of a feel for what's really important to individuals, you know, what's in it for them, and what would they like the change to include. I mean, obviously you can't always accommodate everything, but if you are aware of that right from the start, you can predict and build in certain processes or certain communications that will really help, you know, to deliver some of those things. So yes, I mean, if you're not emotionally connected, then going back to that original question, you know, why would you go out in the rain if you're running the evening, you know, unless you really believe and feel that it's going to do some, you know, have a real benefit for you or for those people around you, if that's important to you as well, of course. So I hope that kind of helps to answer that question.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And it's funny that you mentioned the going to the gym in the rain or sitting down and watching Netflix. And being honest, I had that decision making yesterday. So I was very tempted to sit down. It was raining outside. I wanted to watch the Netflix. I wanted to relax, but I am very committed to hit a certain goal in a few months. I got out, it was raining outside, and I ran and made it happen. So I can completely relate to that statement.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? You know, when you describe that and you said, you know, I've got an important goal. So, you know, that's your connection, your emotional connection into that goal. And that's, you know, that's so important. And for some people, you know, from a kind of NLP perspective, we talk about two different types of motivation. And one is we talk about towards, so you're moving towards a vision. And some people are really energized, you know, about moving towards something very positive. You know, other people get quite energized from moving away from what they don't want, you know, so if there's a serious issue in the organization, or, you know, the organization might need to downsize, then, you know, that too would emotionally engage with people. So, you know, it's important to understand what's the type of motivation that sits within this organization and how can we use that, you know, to really try and really promote the change and get people involved and want to, you know, really want to do something differently.
Right. So, Lindsay, you've also said that it is so important that there be a powerful vision for the future. Yeah. Why is that important?
It is because, you know, this why, you know, if you're talking about why do you need to shift behavior, particularly, you know, if you've been in an organization for quite a long time and you feel pretty comfortable, you know, in your team, in your job, in your tasks. But even if, you know, you're thinking about joining an organization or you're quite new, it's really important to have something to focus on that people generally can agree that's a good thing. You know, and I was talking earlier about whatever level you are in the organization. So, you know, if we were building a vision for the NHS Trust customer that we've got, you know, that vision for the porters may be very much around improve customer care, improving maybe the time it takes, you know, to move a patient from A to B. It's something that really engages with them, because most change takes quite a lot of effort, right? You know, so it's about understanding where you're moving towards. And if that's not there, if people don't really understand the why, then you can certainly expect the level of motivation to be lower, you know, than it is if you can really engage and get people excited or at least curious, you know, about what might happen in the future. So I think, you know, I think that's one of the reasons that having a vision. And we know on a personal level, you know, as you've just described with your fitness, if you've got that vision, then it just makes life a bit easier, and you're much more likely to have a go at something different and, you know, shift a behavior or at least, you know, practice something if you know that's right. The kind of goal at the end.
Lindsay, a lot of our listeners are working in a pseudo-agile environment, which means sometimes there might be a theoretical goal-type vision, but not necessarily a vision for the exact ways we're going to change a year from now. It's in these bite-sized increments. And I'm wondering how you have found success setting a motivating vision that might be quite ambiguous or nebulous.
Yeah, that's really an interesting question, Cara. You know, and of course, for a lot of people, living in that ambiguity can be quite tricky, you know. So I think even in an agile arrangement, you know, you would have some idea of what the overall goal would be. Sure. You know, you'd know the direction that you're moving towards, even though those individual steps might be less than clear, actually. But one of the things you can do there is to really, it comes back to engagement and communication, is how can you involve the local teams or the local groups in really kind of creating or developing, you know, what those interim steps might be. So if people can kind of have some control over the small steps, then I've seen it make a big difference, you know, and we often talk about sphere of control. And if there's, even if it's something quite small locally, that they can decide, you know, what happens next, then that does make a very big difference. And, you know, in change management, one of the things that I seem to talk about more than a lot of other concepts, actually, is this concept of what's in it for me. So, you know, not only engaging the team in what that next step might be, but also helping them understand, or they might create it for themselves. You know, well, what's that mean for us as a team? And what actions do we need to take locally? And that can, you know, really help in keeping the motivation going as well. Great question. Great. You know, ambiguity is the way of the world these days, isn't it? Really? And so we often have these conversations around, well, what are the things you can control? Because there's so many things you can't. So, you know, what can you control, and what can the leaders in the organization do to empower even the smallest of teams or the teams, you know, at all levels of the organization to have some involvement, you know, in the process?
Yeah, one of the things I know my teams, we try to get to with changes is this idea of problem solving behaviors. So obviously you go through the change curve and there's that period of disruption to your day-to-day. But at a certain point, people start to really take ownership of changes themselves and they get into that problem-solving mindset. And I do think that is the game changer. If you can tap into that problem-solving behavior, and I think, Lindsay, some of the techniques that you touched on related to that emotional connection, that powerful message, being okay with some ambiguity, but, you know, aligning to an overall vision, that is what will really untap that potential to that problem-solving behavior. And that is what will ultimately sustain that change long-term.
Yeah, that's right. Because, you know, if those teams are beginning to get those small wins that tend to grow into much bigger wins, you know, then that can make a huge difference. Because then you start to get that kind of circular approach, really, you know, because you're involving people. They're willing to have a go because there is a vision and they've been empowered. To get some results. And also, and of course, that will have an impact on things like habits and behaviors, because as people start to get a result, then it's a bit like going back to the keep fit analogy. You know, you start going out for a run and look what happens, you know, the weight, you reduce your weight. So then you think, great, you know, this works. So then you'll go off and you'll do even more of it.
Exactly. So Lindsay, oftentimes people are looking for that silver bullet, so that magic cure, right? So what do you say to people who are wanting that silver bullet to get people to change?
One of the things, that's another great question, really. And I've often been asked that by my, you know, what's the one thing that I need to do now, you know? And I think one of the things that I've learned is that there's not one single silver bullet, you know, and I'm sorry out there to anybody that might be listening. You know, it takes a sustained approach, but there are a number of things that you can do, you know, that will help. And I think the first thing is to get clarity on what it is that needs to change. You know, it's really important if you're starting to talk about behavior. Well, what specifically needs to change? And often in organizations, it's also about what doesn't need, you know, what are the behaviors that we no longer want to see anymore? And getting clarity on both of those things is a really good place to start. And of course, you can get staff involved in both of those activities as well. You know, and you can run workshop events online, face-to-face, however, you know, there's lots of flexibility around that. And then I think it's really important to over-communicate. You know, we often talk about communication has a big impact. And certainly for any change program, but particularly around behavior, you know, it's really important to look at what are the channels of behavior, the channels of communication. So we can start to get the message out in terms of what needs to change, who's doing this already. You know, let's promote examples of best practice throughout the organization, which is always helpful because that can help get to a tipping point where people are thinking, well, if that team are doing it, then why don't we give it a go? You know, then you often get the area, we often call it about the area of business actions to align the change. So, you know, if you're talking about values and behaviors again, you know, how are you going to start recruiting for the right people? How are you going to start inducting those people right from the get-go, you know, in the way that the organization really wants them to behave? How are you going to appraise them in future in the way that the organization wants them to behave? So that's a really chunky piece that makes a big difference. And often it would kind of drag through some of those resistors because they kind of, they have to change or go and work somewhere else in the end, you know. And then the other thing that if there were a silver bullet, it would be that leaders are actually out there leading from the front and role modeling what's important. So, you know, if you want people to be empowered and have a can-do attitude, then they need to see their leaders behaving like that, you know, or they need to see their leaders being creative and innovative if that's one of the ways the company needs to change. And I think it's like a combination of those things, and it's not linear, you know, you're kind of always shifting and adjusting, but it's asking yourself, you know, have I paid enough attention to all of those things? And I think that's when it's really will start to bring results, you know, and people get clarity. And I think people, they need it. They like it. As we were saying earlier, you know, there's a lot of ambiguity around. So let's find the things that we can be clear about that staff can really start to take on board and think about, you know, what impact it has on them. So I don't know if that, as I say, there's no easy answer there. And often one of the things I didn't say was around the organisational actions is often about supporting staff. So it might include development, coaching, those sorts of things as well, because it's not just about saying to someone, this is how we want you to change. It's also about making sure that you're supporting them in whatever way that that you can. And, you know, we often talk about ability and willingness to change. And you'll find, you know, you've got some people that are very can do, you know, they're willing and they're able. And so, you know, you can use those as your champions in the organization, you know, on the ground, helping people to understand the importance of the change. And then, you know, we often talk about people that are willing to change, but haven't necessarily got the skill set. So, you know, those you can train and coach and bring through. And then you'll have others in any change. You know, you'll have the people that actually could do it, but for whatever reason don't want to. Or the ones that the worst ones of all, the most challenging ones of all, where actually they can't, they haven't got the skill and they don't want to do it. You know, so you've got all different kinds of individuals in your organization as well, really, that you need to be thinking about, you know, when you're pulling your plans for change to together. That's a very long answer to your question.
To be fair, it's a very complicated question to answer. I think so many of our listeners and organizations have been faced with this question of, well, if we just change one thing, what is it? What is that silver bullet? And I think what you really touched on here, Lindsay, is as organizations, we have strengths across the board, and we should be leveraging all of those strengths and capabilities to really move this change forward. If we're only focusing on one piece of this change, we're not focusing on the breadth and the opportunities out there. But if we did focus on one, leadership is definitely one of those areas. I think it's so important, and you touched on it so well, role model behavior, whether that come from your leadership structure or just those individuals that are so bought in to the change and can role model amongst their peers. I mean, it just pays dividends if you can get those change champions engaged and really modeling that future state behavior that you're looking for others to do.
Yeah.
It's almost contagious to an effect.
Yeah, it is. And that's what I was talking about, that tipping point. You know, if you can see other people demonstrating it and you think, oh, well, that's what that means. You know, I can do that. You know, it does, as you say, it rubs off on a lot of people. And if you can get people to a tipping point, you know, in any change, you're never going to get everybody jumping up and down with glee, you know, because there are many disbenefits of change to people, you know. So, but if you can get as many as you can, then as you say, it becomes contagious. And hopefully if you tip over the edge, then you've got enough people to carry that change through.
So Lindsay, it was so great having you on today. Thank you for joining us. Before we go, please tell our listeners more about the Change Corporation.
Yeah, thank you. So if you want to go and visit the website, it is thechangecorporation.com. And we've been going now since 2005, very much focused on this area of culture change and change management. And what really fascinates us is exactly all the things we've been talking about today. You know, how do you really advise an organization that needs to make some tough choices, you know, get people doing things differently for whatever reason? And how do you guide an organization through that process? And, you know, often we end up coaching chief execs, you know, senior directors, which is a real privilege, you know, to understand, you know, their challenges and what's going on for them. So Change Corporation, we operate mainly in the UK, but we do, you know, operate throughout Europe. We've been out to the US as well. Haven't been out to Hong Kong yet, but it's always that first time. And we'd love to hear from any of your listeners. And I know I'd be delighted to answer any questions that they might have about any of the topics that we've talked about today.
Well, great. Thank you so much, Lindsay. Kara and I have really enjoyed having you on the show today. So to our listeners, we're just curious, what techniques have you used recently to shift behaviors in your people? So let us know on LinkedIn. Our episode is posted. Post your questions for Lindsay, and we look forward to hearing from you. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you as well. It's been a pleasure.